Listen to Lisa while you're at work. WICC600.com. Back to the Lisa Wexler Show on WICC600.
And welcome back to the show today. So you know that I've become obsessed with K-drama. And the reason that I've become obsessed with K-drama is that I am stunned by the storyline, the acting, the production values, the music. I download the soundtracks very often after I finish watching the show, and then this story continues to live in my mind. And also, I bop around a lot. It becomes my new jam. And I saw online the Review Geek, founded by Greg Wheeler, our next guest. And I saw that the Review Geek did a really good job in reviewing a whole assortment of a lot of different entertainment products. But I thought they did a particularly good job in also reviewing K-dramas. And I wanted to talk with Greg Wheeler about not only specifically which K-dramas I think are better than others, but more importantly, what does he think is the source of such great appeal of these? And just before we chat with Greg, let me tell you that I saw this morning in the New York Times, there's a marvelous novel named Pachinko that came out a few years ago, and it's now been translated on Apple TV, which made it into a Korean drama, which they're saying is on a completely different scale than others. This particular drama will be a drama that has both Japanese, English, and Korean language intermixed in it. And it is the story of the immigration of a particular Korean family. It's called Pachinko. So K-dramas are immigrating from Korea, and they have really taken the world by storm. Greg Wheeler, thank you so much for calling in. I understand you're in London today.
Yeah, well, actually, down on the south coast of England, we've had a surprisingly sunny day today, which is a bit rare for the UK.
We're having a sunny day here in Connecticut too. A little less rare, but very, very welcome. So, Greg, so your site is called the Review Geek, and you and a bunch of other people watch a lot of things, and then you give us the benefit of your opinions about them. What makes you decide that you want to even watch K-drama? Why?
It's a good question, actually. So around kind of 2017, 2018, I started up the Review Geek with mostly the kind of intention of going through kind of TV shows and films and stuff and kind of finding, the kind of diamonds in the rough, if you will. And it was almost kind of by chance I stumbled across Korean dramas at the time, which were quite kind of went under the radar, and there were a few that kind of really stood out along the way. So really, just in terms of kind of researching and looking at different shows and stuff and trying to branch out beyond the usual kind of dramas that we're kind of used to, you know, like the Fox crime dramas, or over here in the UK, the BBC primetime dramas, all those sort of things, they kind of all follow the same sort of pattern most of the way through their shows. And Korean dramas obviously do as well, but they're done in such a way where they kind of nail, I mean, I'm sure you can probably kind of side with this, where you've obviously been watching some as well, Lisa.
They
they're so good, aren't they? I mean, they kind of nail every part of a production.
Yes.
So the storytelling is obviously, I think some of it as well, the storytelling is condensed to 16 episodes. So within that kind of period, you kind of have a very strict beginning, middle, and end, mm-hmm. which sounds simple, but there are so many shows nowadays where you jump into them and you're not sure whether they're actually going to be renewed, whether they'll be cancelled, whether you'll get invested in a show only for it to be cancelled off.
That's a really good point. Yeah. So when you start to watch this, you know you're going to go for a ride with these characters, and you're going to get to where the writer wanted them to go in that period of time. That's a really good point, Greg.
Yeah, I think that's some of the reason why they've done so well, to be honest, and why they're just starting to hit the kind of cultural norm over here, to be honest. You know, again, over in the US as well. I think it's interesting, especially with Crash Landing. Crash Landing on You is
That's the first one I ever saw. That's the first one I ever saw. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I can't believe what I'm watching.
It's, insanely good, isn't it? And it's interesting, actually, because Crash Landing came out around kind of December 2019, and I remember that I was looking at the description with my partner, and we were reading the plot synopsis, and as we were reading it, we were like, this sounds utterly bonkers. There's no way this will work. No way it will work. But then it did, and I think it surprised a lot of people all the way across the world, really.
You heard that. Did you hear, Greg, that in real life they got married last week?
Oh, I did. Amazing, isn't it? I saw some of the videos, actually, on Instagram.
Oh, they had good. Such chemistry. The lead stars, Hun Bun, and what's her name? Soon, it's with an S.
Yejin, isn't it? Hyunbin and Yejin.
Yeah, I'm not pronouncing it right. Hyunbin and Yejin. Anyway, they're just... She's utterly charming, marvelous, incredibly funny. He is like, you know, Greek god handsome material. And he comes swooping in. Oh, it's called Crash Landing on You. And basically the synopsis is very simple. This is why you must watch it. I'll tell you in 1 second. Here's what it is. She is a daughter of a rich conglomerate. She's trying to struggle for independence. Her family is whacked out. And she's trying to figure out a way to survive in this world. And one day... this rich, indulged woman decides, you know what? I got nothing better to do. I'm going to go paragliding. And she paraglides and she finds herself landing, boom, in North Korea. And who saves her but the soldier? And then the story continues. That's all you need to know. And it's unbelievable. That's it. It's incredible.
Yeah, that's a really good description, to be honest. You really said it better than I could. It's interesting with this one because it's... It kind of came out around, it basically finished in February 2020. And if you remember, Parasite actually won Best Picture February at the Oscars. And it's interesting that this would be the one that's picked up and people kind of give a chance to. And I think it surprised a lot of people. I think some of the reason this one works so well, not just because it has, you know, masterful use of comedy, drama and action, there are a lot of tear-jerking moments as well. You need to have tissues going into this one because, honestly, sobbing, absolutely sobbing at
Me
the end
too.
Of some of these episodes.
Me too. Really overcome. Definitely. Yeah, definitely. I would go to bed at night wondering what's going to happen to these people. And I'll tell you something else. Because Crash Landing on You epitomizes or brings to light the existential dilemma of living in Korea between North and South Korea, I had never felt it so personally, how the history of the division of the Korean people was still such a terrible wound for the people in Korea. How sad it is that they can't be together. It's sad. It's tragic.
Yeah, it is. There's some really good books on it as well, actually, that kind of dive into kind of North Korean kind of not culture, but what happens, what's actually going on in North Korea and how everyone's kind of struggling and stuff. And it's so heartbreaking. But I think what's interesting with this one is you kind of have the, you know, without going too much into spoilers, there are four North Korean soldiers who, the way that I kind of perceive this, they almost kind of embody ourselves as kind of outsiders looking at the South Korean culture. Because they kind of go on a journey of their own and they start to look at things like the South Korean food, K-dramas, K-pop, and a lot of the comedy that they kind of have in there. I think it's really interesting looking at the way that they almost kind of personify ourselves when they're, you know, looking at things like instant noodle packets or looking at K-pop and wondering how, you know, certain songs are big or how certain, you know, artists are big. I think it's really fascinating. The way that they kind of balance all those components out with obviously the romance as well.
We're chatting with Greg Wheeler, who is the founder of The Review Geek, which is a great website that you can go on and see a bunch of different really well-written reviews of all different entertainment. We're focusing a little bit on K-drama here on The Lisa Wexler Show today at 203-333-9422. There's a professor of Wesleyan University who literally teaches K-drama in the course of a gender studies program. There's a famous economics professor at Princeton who fashions himself an expert in K-drama because he watches it every single night with his Chinese wife. This is his words. And although he doesn't really teach it as an economics, he's now given to lecture on it in other places. And let me ask you this, we're chatting with Greg Wheeler. So Crash Landing on You was one extraordinary example, which, by the way, was so popular that it became subversive and it was leaked into North Korea. And then if you were caught having a copy of Crash Landing on You in North Korea, of course, you had to go to jail. Because if you're in North Korea and you see this, you see what modern day South Korea looks like, and your mouth would be open and gape and you'd say, why can't I have that too? So, of course, it would be very subversive in North Korea to have that leak. But I wanted to go, I wanted to ask you, Greg Wheeler, about something else. The culture surrounding the K-drama celebrities. There's a particular actor who I think is extremely talented named Kim Shun-ho, who was the star of Hometown Cha-Cha-Cha and also one of the stars of Startup. And I think he's like Cary Grant. I think he just, I just think he's just a different caliber of actor from a lot of the other great actors. I think he's just boom there in a very different way. And
He's very good.
He's very good. Wouldn't you agree? He's really excellent. I think he's excellent. Anyway.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I mean, just kind of jump into what you were saying. When he was he was portraying the supporting star in Startup, and I can't remember the exact numbers, but his Instagram completely blew up. There were crazy numbers just from his kind of performance in Startup, and it's absolutely crazy. Millions and millions of followers now.
Yeah, I think he has over 8 million.
Just totally based on that.
Yeah, something like over 8 million.
Wow.
Now, he had a scandal because his ex-girlfriend accused him of inducing, of basically wanting her to have an abortion when she found out that she was pregnant. And this is in a country that just decriminalized abortion in 2021. And it was only decriminalized because the Supreme Court there said that it was unconstitutional to make it criminal. So it wasn't legislatively decriminalized. It was judicially decriminalized, which is even, you know, which shows you that it's still very much, I think, probably a very real societal, you know, source of division within the culture and the country. Anyway, she accused him of that. Then he lost all of his endorsements, all of his everything overnight. And then this newspaper named Dispatch published their cell phone records and saw that the accusations against him were unfair, that when he found out that she was pregnant, he offered to support the child. He wanted them to meet the parents. He made her seaweed soup, which is a traditional way of comforting people after a procedure. And he did all of these things. And then she apologized and said, well, maybe I didn't say it right, and I'm sorry I caused him any damage or harm. Anyway, and then his standing started to come back a little bit. But, you know, Greg Wheeler, you're a reviewer, you're watching K-drama. I'm just interested in your thoughts on the extent to which Korean celebrities and cancel culture and all of that, how much are their celebrities' personal lives personalized to the audience in South Korea?
Yeah, it's a good question, to be honest. I mean, I know that the fan base for Korean dramas are incredibly passionate about numerous different kind of actors and actresses. I've seen it kind of watching different kind of dramas, that the comments and stuff that will pop up, they'll be about a certain actor or a certain actress and what's happened with them. I must confess, for me personally, to try and stay neutral with a lot of the dramas and a lot of the shows that I watch, both in the West and also with Korean dramas, I tend to switch off a lot to a lot of the kind of entertainment news and
sure.
stuff.
You mean, so, in other words, you don't want to see the comments, you want your own review. Is that what you mean? Like, you don't want to be swayed by the comments? Yeah.
Basically, yeah. So for me personally, you know, we all kind of have it. You know, we'll read an article about something or someone, you know, that's kind of like a celebrity. You know, we'll have our kind of almost knee-jerk reactions and then potentially kind of stick with that. So we might look at, I'm not going to name any names, anyone really, we could look at something might have happened and then we look at a certain actor in a different way. But then when you then jump in to review that actor, say if they've got another show out or they've got another drama out, I almost feel like that's kind of going to be in your mind at the same time as watching. So for me personally, I tend to steer clear of it. Do you know what I mean? So I kind of stay completely neutral when I'm watching.
That makes sense. That makes sense. I couldn't help it. When I fell in love with this Kim Shan-ho, I had to find everything that was about him. And then I stumbled upon this and all the intricacies. And I read the cell phone messages. Please, I got so involved. I did my deepest dive ever because I'm in love with this guy. I'm absolutely in love with this guy. You know, what I wanted to say to you, Greg Wheeler, and you're a man. So I wanted to ask you this. Do you find it unusual, strange, important, moving? What are the adjectives you would find it to see how often the men in these Korean dramas cry?
I mean, I love it. I think there should be more of it, to be honest, over here. I mean, there is a really weird kind of, not weird, but there's almost like a kind of cultural kind of norm with guys. I mean, I'm a millennial, so it might be a little bit different for other generations. But for me growing up, it was very much like the whole, you know, you need to toughen up. Don't cry. Don't let your emotions be shown. You know, big boys don't cry. And all those kind of phrases were kind of swimming around at school. So you kind of learn to almost suppress your emotions a little bit. I was quite lucky. I say lucky. I basically was raised by my mum. My dad kind of left when I was really little. So my mum basically raised me and raised me to be very open with my emotions. Whereas that's obviously not always the case with some people growing up. So I kind of feel like that's sometimes reflected in the entertainment that we have, you know, over both sides, really, the Pacific, over in America and also in the UK. Quite rare, isn't it, to find?
You never see it. You never see it. The men are very stoic. That's one of the things that's really getting to me about the K-drama is that the men are able to express their anguish in tears very frequently, and the way the storylines are written, they say why they're crying. In other words, They explain how they're feeling in the moment they're feeling it. I think it's so gripping because it is so unusual, at least for me as a consumer of American and British entertainment.
I mean, I completely agree with you. And I think the other part of it as well is they don't belittle those actors either. Do you know what I mean? So like,
yes.
Sometimes you might have a scene in, say, I can't even think of a show off the top of my head, but if you have like a character that's crying in, say, an American crime drama, the initial reaction would be, why are you crying? What's wrong with you? Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, or there might may well be, you know, a specific reason for it, you know, to make other characters look better. That's sometimes quite a nasty little trope that seems to be creeping in over here. But in Korea, I kind of like you, really. I think it's really refreshing to see so much emotion, but then done in a way where that character is still strong. It's still a kind of strong character.
They're strong in the way they need to be strong. They're in the ultimate in being manly for me most of the time by giving expression to their feelings of sadness. Very often it's grief about a situation or it's a lost love or a situation they can't fix. I think it makes them more masculine, stronger to me.
Sexier. I agree. And I'd actually say the only one over your side that kind of does portray that incredibly well is 1883. There are a few scenes in there where some of the male characters, they are crying. And I
don't even know what that is. What is 1883? Oh, what is that?
So it's, I believe it's on Paramount. It's like a cowboy drama that's kind of set, unsurprisingly, in 1883.
Okay.
It's a little bit slow. But it, obviously getting a little bit off topic, that's a good example, really. The only one I can think of off the top of my head that actually does show that, but it doesn't do it in a, you know, in a kind of derogative way.
Well, then that's a recommendation. Greg Abbott, thank you so much for being on the show. Thanks for calling in from your side of the pond and for your reviews.
Yeah, no,
I'll be checking them out. I'll be the review geek. I'll be checking you out. After I finish the next one, I'll get to see if you and I agree. By the way, if you wanted to recommend something right now in terms of a K-drama, what's like in your mind uppermost that's a must-watch?
There are a few. One is Our Beloved Summer, which is a romance that was out.
It has to have a happy ending for me, though. That's the only thing. It has to.
That one does.
I can't stand another Mr. Sunshine. I can't do it. Mr. Sunshine ripped my heart out. I can't do it. I can't do it. A sad ending. I love Mr. Sunshine, but I can't. I keep reliving the sad ending. I can't do it. So if Our Beloved Summer doesn't have a happy ending, it might be great, but it's not on my list. I need something with a happy ending. What have you got for me?
Yeah, so that one does. The Our Beloved Summer, okay. That definitely has a happy ending.
Okay,
the other one that I was going to recommend, which is just finished, it's called 2521, but that one does have a bit of a sad ending. So okay. Maybe not that one.
All right, Our Beloved Summer it is. I know 2521 got great reviews. I think I'm also going to watch It's Okay to Not Be Okay. I heard that's very good too. I haven't seen that.
Oh, that's a very good drama.
All right, Review Geek, thank you so much for coming on the show. Greg Wheeler on the Lisa
Wexler
Show. Thank
you so much for having me. Really appreciate it.
Me too. We'll be right back with Professor Yin-Hui Fu, and we're going to talk about sleep and why people can sleep better than others. You're not going to want to miss it. Stay tuned for more of the Lisa Wexler Show. We'll be right back.